Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 5. Ways in which the deceitfulness of riches seeks to operate. Topic: F. Attempts to use earthly things for the acquisition of heavenly things. Part 1: Money or goods. Until the current topic in the chapter on some ways in which the deceitfulness of riches works, we have already seen that this type of deception aims at people to assimilate the inadequate ideas that they can 1. Raise themselves to the level of God or reduce God to their level. 2. Become independent of God. 3. Demand a series of rights and privileges before God and their fellow men according to their own interests. 4. Come to have the possessions they want and also put their trust in them. In all these ways cited in the previous topics, we see that the goal of the deceitfulness of riches is to lead people to despise the sovereignty of God in their hearts or their lives. Nevertheless, at this new point, we want to see that the propositions of the deceitfulness of riches do not act only in the direct rejection of the sovereignty of God, but also advance to another sphere that, in a sense, can be even more subtle than those we have already seen before. Thus, among the propositions of the deceitfulness of riches, we can note that there are still those that are coded with the concept of seeming recognition of God's sovereignty and that all riches actually come from the Lord or should come from God. In other words, if human beings understand that they cannot indeed be independent of God and that the Lord is the only source of good riches, it remains for them to seek to obtain riches from the Lord or through the Lord's blessing. And it is also at this point that the deceitfulness of riches aims to introduce its vile propositions or fascinations. If the deceitfulness of riches fails to keep people from believing in the existence of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and fails to lead them to seek independence from God or to start trusting in rights and goods as the security of their lives, it seeks to introduce distortions or corruptions, or also the so-called thorns, in the way a person seeks to relate to God to obtain riches. Therefore, the mere fact that a person seeks to obtain riches in God or through the hand of the Lord does not automatically imply that this search is according to the heavenly will, for even if there is a search for the Lord to obtain from him the riches, the objective, the purpose, or the way in which a person seeks to obtain riches from God may also be in disagreement with the will of the Lord. Throughout history, many people who claimed to believe in God, but who did not do so according to the heavenly righteousness, grace, and will, developed the most diverse strategies and ways with the goal that the Heavenly Father would grant them the riches they wanted for themselves and according to their personal intents. For this reason, in this topic, we want to see at least three of these strategies or historical ways of improperly seeking to obtain riches from God and some of their main aspects that show their characteristic of being propositions of fascination. And we will try to do this with the expectation that these considerations will serve as teaching and support for a broader perception of the multiplicity of actions of the deceitfulness of riches when it also seeks to act intensely regarding those who want riches from the Lord. Below follows, then, a more specific mention of three strategies of the action of the deceitfulness of riches mentioned in the previous paragraph. First, the attempt to buy heavenly gifts with money or goods. Second, the attempt to purchase heavenly gifts through godliness or devotion to God. Third, the attempt to acquire heavenly gifts through the compensatory practice or fulfillment of a diversity of external rules and works. And if we look carefully at the following text, we can see in it a first example regarding the three propositions of fascinations mentioned above. Acts 8, 9-23. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized he continued with Philip, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." In this last text, we can note a series of aspects directly involved with the deceitfulness of riches, which are perverse and come from immersion in bitterness and bonds of iniquity, and not from a heart that understands the condition of God's righteousness for the granting of heavenly gifts. Thus, when a person proposes to acquire heavenly riches through earthly and human wealth, one also finds oneself, in doing this act, subject to a worldly or human mentality and not according to God's instruction, implying, according to this distorted mentality, at the very least that 1. Earthly or human riches have the same value as heavenly riches. 2. God is purchasable by material things. 3. God is inferior to what he created because created things have the power to buy God, which, in turn, may also lead to the thought that God is manipulable by human interests. 4. Money is the greatest power that exists in the universe because it can buy even the one who created the universe. 5. The human being is greater than God since money can buy everything and was not created by God but by the creature. That is, under the corrupted concept that the Spirit of God can be bought by a person with money or what human beings have created, human beings and their creations are seen as higher and more valuable than God himself. Therefore, although Simon was trying to obtain from the Lord the gift of power, he was entangled or bound by iniquities similar to those already mentioned at the beginning of this topic, that is, 1. Human beings can be gods. 2. Human beings have their own resources to be independent and negotiate on an equal basis with God. 3. Human beings have the rights and privileges to speak on the same level with God. 4. Possession of money or goods gives human beings the power to negotiate freely with whomever they want, including God. Given this, we can note here again that the deceitfulness of riches always seeks to reverse the order of the creature in relation to the Creator, as well as the order between the earthly and the heavenly things, or even the order of the created things, according to the text that we recall once again below. Romans 1. 22 and 25. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Under various forms of subtlety, the deceitfulness of riches seeks to corrupt people's knowledge and understanding of God, His unique and sovereign position, and what He has done and is doing, presenting to them a proposition that goes beyond what is due for human beings to think about themselves and the creation. Thus, ignoring the existence of God, seeking independence from God, wanting to elevate the human being to the position of God, or even recognizing the existence of God, but in a lower position than the one due to the Lord, are all actions that have the same elements of the creature's bitterness against the Creator. They are all propositions of bonds of iniquity that aim to ensnare and lead human beings to think on a smaller scale of value than is due to God and on a larger scale than is due to the creature. In the referenced example of Simon, we can see that his attempt to obtain power, despite having come to believe in the God that the apostles of Christ announced to him, came from an evil heart, showing that the fact that a person comes to believe in the existence of God does not automatically mean that one is in agreement with the Lord. Simon envisioned that the God who had been announced to him could increase his profits, for what came from this God was greater than his sorcery. Furthermore, if Simon could buy the heavenly gift with money, he would be the owner, he would have the right and ownership over the purchased gift, and thus, he would be able to enjoy the privileges that would come from the use of the heavenly gift that would become his by right of purchase. If Simon could get God's gift for money, he could also pass it on for money, which, in turn, could earn him ample financial profits. From what can perhaps be extracted from the narrative about his conduct, although this is not explicit in the text, Simon was a sorcerer or magician by profession and saw in the heavenly gift a more powerful product to offer his services to others, which in his perspective, probably, could also bring a significant increase in his income or material gains. In this way, in the case of Simon, the deceitfulness of riches did not oppose God's existence and the fact that there was a greater power in God. However, it continued to show itself as that deception that would lead people to rely on their possessions and properties to be prosperous even though they could only get them from God. On the other hand, Simon's example serves as a direct, objective, and undoubted teaching that God's gift cannot be bought with money. No amount of money can obtain a single gift from God. No material offerings or money sacrifices can buy God's favor. Valuations of heavenly riches transcend all methods and measures of comparison that are available on earth. And if human instruments of value are not sufficient even to evaluate heavenly riches, much less value will something earthly have to acquire a gift from the kingdom of God. Therefore, the mentality of acquiring the Lord's favor through money is also a form derived from the concepts of the law of Moses in which God's favor was sought through sacrifices, burnt offerings, or material offerings, but which was never in agreement with Heavenly Father's will. That is also why the mentioned law was considered obsolete and revoked due to the establishment of the new covenant in Christ, exemplified by two texts that we recall below and which are widely approached in the theme the Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ. Jeremiah 7:22-24. For I did not speak to your fathers, or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Hebrews 8:1-6-7. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying: we have such a high priest, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Similar to Simon, who wanted in his own way and in the hardness of his heart to obtain the gift of God, so also in the first or old covenant, people wanted to attain the gift of God in their own way and based on what they would offer in an attempt to bargain with God, and not according to the grace and instruction of the Lord. So, One of the worst or most terrible aspects of the deceitfulness of earthly riches is the attempt to induce a person's understanding to the point where one believes that with money, tithes, or other earthly things, one can obtain the eternal salvation of one's soul or any other gift of God, as if the Lord could be impressed and needed to receive back what he himself created by the power of his word. Let us see, then, below two more texts that speak of God's sovereignty in relation to all his creation. Acts 17:24-26. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Acts 7:48-51. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? Says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you.